I want to begin this morning, dear people, by saying it could well be that as we're seated here this morning, that we are committed in our care for ourselves to a certain vitamin supplement program or intake. I suspect some of you are. I am too. I have mine. You have yours. Maybe it's a certain exercise routine that we're in. We discipline ourselves. That's wonderful. I have mine. May I say, I was up at 4:30 this morning, beginning my exercise routine, my daily walk. Not always that early, but I love being out early walking. Maybe for some, it's a regular visit to a chiropractor, a wellness center, an adjustment to try to keep you functioning as well as is possible. Maybe it's a dietary program you're on to try to control weight gain and so forth. I could go on. Maybe we're on this. Maybe we're doing this. Maybe we're taking this pill just to try to maximize our health and well-being. Now, I want to say, if we're Christians, I believe we do well to turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8 again and again and again to get a faith lift, to have the joy and victory of the Christian faith capture our minds once again, fill our hearts once again, and brighten our days once again. I may have mentioned in an earlier message, if you go through this chapter, there's really three sections. That first section is kind of the no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's the theme of the opening verses. And then in the middle part of the chapter, you get to that no defeat theme. That we are not controlled by the flesh, but we're under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to live defeated lives, even in this world. And then in the latter verses, which we read this morning, it has that no separation theme. There's nothing in all this world, nothing, no one can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and who loves us. Please recognize in these closing verses with me for a few moments. First of all, what shall I say? The considerable affliction of the Christian in this world. That's in verses 35, 36, if you have your Bibles open before you. And then we come to our controlling assurance. Our controlling assurance, that's verse 37, which I read. And then what should be our confident assertion, our testimony, verses 38 and 39. Christians living in this present age, this side of the Jordan, have to deal, I am suggesting, with considerable affliction or hardship or suffering. The things mentioned there, verse 35, persecution, famine, nakedness, implying severe poverty and danger. Maybe these things seem far removed from us this morning. Quite foreign. Because we worship here in such freedom. Not all of God's children, but we do. And we're well clothed. In our closets, we have to make choices. There's so much there to choose from. We have walk-in closets. We have to expand. We're so blessed. Poverty, that's foreign too. If your fridge is a bit like mine, where am I going to put this? Can't find room. Try to rearrange things a little bit. Freezers. We have an abundant supply. But many of God's good children live in our world today. And they know firsthand what persecution is all about. And famine. Nakedness. Danger. Maybe I've shared before, but here's a magazine I receive every month. It's Voice of the Martyrs. And living in our fair land, I need to read this to understand what brothers and sisters in Jesus are dealing with. This issue has to do with what's happening in India, central India, and in Nigeria. Unfathomable But suffering is so real, so real. And for ourselves, too, however rich our faith, however close our walk with God may be, we're not immune, I trust you see that, from the pain and the happenings that can crush our spirits, bring deep hurt to our hearts. Looking back over the years of my ministry, I still remember a couple of situations where little children who were seemingly healthy and alive and suddenly they were gone. It's this thing of SIDS death, sudden infant death syndrome, not knowing the cause. Some have had to deal with that. And I can think of a number of people married, wanting to have a child, praying and even pleading with God, but that womb remains barren. They're childless. Such pain connected with that. Or, I remember, then there's praying, a child, there's conception, and there's just celebration, and then a bit, there's a miscarriage. Oh, the hurt and the disappointment. And the pain connected with that. And I could go on. Some dear saints have become widowed. Far too early, may I say? Far too early. And others have remained single, wanting to be married, but somehow that never happened. And others had to deal with the diagnosis of a disease. Terminal, robbing them of all their dignity in life. And then there's those, the Bible speaks of the Apostle Paul saying he had a thorn in the flesh. Maybe not noticeable, but it so restricted him. Maybe some of you know what that's all about. That thorn in the flesh. You pray, you so wish it would go away, you take whatever treatment you get, but it's always there. And it limits us in some ways. I could go on. And then may I say, it's not all physical, of course. For some, there's the pain of a prodigal son or daughter who walks away from God. Oh, the pain of a parent. Or the heartache of having a parent who's unsaved and has no interest in the Lord. That's suffering that goes deep, deep. When we read there in Romans 8, the quote from Psalm 44, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." It's to remind us that suffering has always been part of the experience of God's dear people. Various forms of suffering and hardship that we have to encounter living this side of heaven, this side of glory. You know, I've listened, and I may have shared this before, sometimes on television you get these preachers, may I say, they call them health and wealth preachers. They say, just put your faith in God and life is going to be smooth and easy and you'll be prosperous, successful in every way. And when I listen to that, I often inwardly say, on what scriptural basis can you make that claim? And can you make that promise that somehow if we put our faith in God and become a Christ follower, that then we're immune from the sufferings of this world, that we can live above them all? If we're only a little bit stronger Christian, if we had a stronger faith, if we only prayed a little bit more, on what basis? Where in God's word does it say that? Suffering is not imaginary. It's real. For God's precious children are saints too. Considerable affliction. For some, very considerable affliction. But let me move from affliction to assurance on the part of God's children. What is that? The question is asked, verse 35. Who or what will separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us? And then all possible separators are mentioned there. And Paul responds in verse 37 saying, no, in all these things, I repeat, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, loved us, past tense. He's referring there to the way God amazingly loved us in Christ, sending his one and only Son. That Son going to the cross, there to pay the price for our sin, suffering as no one has ever suffered. He did it not for himself, he did it for us, because God says he so loved the world that he gave us his Son. And Jesus so loved us that he was willing to go to the cross and take the anger of God against sin on himself, so that all trusting in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We can be assured that a God, a Savior who so loved us, will continue to love us. With a love that's deep and inseparable. You know, Satan is always the author of evil, of course. And he's always hoping to rob us of our relationship with God. And it's his thinking that if we get affliction and we have troubles, that somehow that will drive us away from God. You remember the story of Job in the Bible? Satan and God having a conversation. God says, do you notice my servant? What a righteous person. He so honors me. And Satan says, yeah, but look how good you've been to him. You've blessed him in every way imaginable. Just remove your blessings and he'll curse you. He'll deny you. And so God allows Satan to check that out. And you can read the book of Job. Health disappears. All of his children, mishaps, they all die. Affliction of the body sets in. A man who is super wealthy and marvelously healthy, he loses it all. He loses it all in a very short time. And Satan thought surely then that he would curse God and just want to die. That he'd give up on faith, but not so, not so. Read the book. All these hardships and tragedies brought Job into even a closer and a deeper love for God. He didn't love God less after all this adversity. He loved God more, more. And I'm thinking of Paul and Silas preaching the gospel faithfully. They're arrested. They're thrown into prison, a dungeon. You'd expect that they would be totally distraught, despondent. What does the Bible say? Acts 16. They're in that prison singing. Singing hymns to God. They were conquerors. They were more than conquerors. To the one who loved them. May I say here, that word more than conquerors, in the original language, the Greek language, it's that word nikao, nikao. And from that word, we get the word Nike, Nike. That's familiar. It means victor, conqueror, overcomer. People like to wear those shoes, you know, or those hats, or those shirts, which have that signal that I'm a Nike person. In competition, I'm going to conquer. I'm going to win. Sadly, this name was also given to one of the ancient gods in the ancient world. A pagan goddess who people believed that she had the power to bring victory out of any defeat. She was the one who would lead you to victory. And so they appealed to her before a contest to this Greek goddess. I want to say this morning, I'm so thankful that we don't look to a goddess or a god. When the going gets hard, when afflictions descend, very honestly, we don't find our secret to victory and wearing a certain brand of shoes or wearing a certain hat or wearing a certain t-shirt, we find our secret to being an overcomer or a conqueror in the one who loved us and loves us. Our assurance, our controlling assurance, by controlling I mean an assurance that kind of rules and regulates our life. Our assurance is that we can cope with any situation or trial. As God's children, we can get somehow through any day, however hard it may be, with God's help, and not be overcome. We can find peace and victory, even in suffering, through one who so loved us. Oh, what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I may have shared this story last time, I don't remember, but I think of it often. That prisoner behind the Iron Curtain, I read about him. In a prison situation where the conditions were awful, just absolutely awful, awful. I won't describe those. But he was a Christian. And then he was released. And only by the grace of God was he released. But then I read, when released, before he left that cell, he knelt. And with tears of joy, he thanked God for the sweet fellowship they had together in that God-forsaken place, that awful cell. You see, that cell did not separate the saint from God. It could not. It was there that he shared the love of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's not surprising. God says, I love you with an inseparable love. No matter where you find yourself, I will love you. I will embrace you. I'll care for you. I suspect that maybe somebody here has that testimony. It was on a hospital bed. So sad, but the presence of God was with you. You experienced God as you never had before. I've talked to widows and widowers in a home, so lonely, and yet God was there. God was there. Their most precious friend, or people who lived in some remote place, far from home and family and friends, and yet they testify that God was there. God was there with them. The arms of God, the embrace of God, the love of God was felt in that situation as never before. The Christian, you see, is more than a survivor of suffering. He or she is a conqueror, more than a conqueror, through the one who loves him. The Christian's assertion, testimony, is this: I am convinced that neither death nor life, I'm convinced that neither angels nor demons, I am convinced that neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, I'm convinced that nothing in all creation will be ever able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear friends, I've heard many a powerful and moving testimony. Beautiful. But the testimony that closes this chapter, I think, somehow transcends them all. There's nothing in all this world that can or will ever separate me from God and from his love. And I simply ask this morning, is that your testimony? Is that your assurance? Is that your joy on this day as you enter this week? If you're a Christian, I want you to understand you are incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed. You have good news, not only to believe, but to put, may I say, a smile on your face and a song in your heart and kind of a skip in your step each day again. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, I cannot imagine that you or any person would not choose to want to become one. And I want to simply close by saying, if there's any person hearing my voice who's not a follower of Jesus, you're not a Christian, read Romans chapter 8. And then invite this amazing Jesus in Christ and God into your heart and life. Join me in prayer. More than conquerors are we, O God, more than conquerors to the one who loved us and who loves us. O God, may that be our confident assertion, our testimony, our joy. Because there are forces in our world, strong forces, that would always seek to somehow ravage or ruin our faith, that would seek to separate us from you, our God. Thank you that your love is so strong for us that all attempts by the enemy to end our relationship with you will prove futile. Oh God, establish us in the teachings of Romans chapter 8. To be ever more secure in your love and in your embrace. And Lord, if there's a saint here this morning who's struggling, will you reach out to that one and embrace him and her or her and love that one? And God, if there's a sinner here yet unsaved, open the door of your kingdom to receive that person into your eternal family, so that he or she too may live in this world in a new way, as more than a conqueror to the God who loved me, who loves me. In Christ's name, amen. 572, would you turn there, please? 572. One of my favorite hymns, a wonderful testimony, 572, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste that is of glory divine. We're going to use verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3, are we there? 572. 572. Together we sing.